the EFL. It's the Football League podcast coming live from Wembley. On this, our final show of the season, we'll react to the Championship playoff final as the Saints go marching back to the Premier League, leaving Leeds trudging off together. Powered by Quinbet, this is What the EFL. And it is a very special episode as I look around me at a now nearly empty Wembley Stadium. We're recording less than an hour after the whistle blew for the final time on the Championship playoff final. Southampton beating Leeds United by a goal to nil. I'm going to get into the match in detail with Adrian Clark.
Hello, Matt. Yeah, what a nice little day out. Hey, very nice little end of season treat. Brilliant atmosphere, great occasion. They're never great games, these Championship playoff finals, but I enjoyed it. It was lovely to be here with you two.
Yep, thoroughly enjoyed it. The full experience for me, planes, trains and automobiles to get here, and a very scary tube journey when I was just trying to mind my own business, but literally was in the midst of Southampton and Leeds fans getting very, very excited about the day ahead.
That is Sam Parkin, of course. I've got to get the last train back to Leeds, by the way, so let's hope that you are hearing this, listener. Before we get into it then, let me remind you that our friends at Quinbet have enhanced their UK welcome offer, where you can now get a free bet worth up to £35. It is for new customers that sign up only. Check out the full terms and conditions at quinbet.com/promotions, or have a look at the link in the description of the pod. It's 18+. And remember, always gamble responsibly. All right, Leeds versus Southampton next. Well, Leeds just don't like playoffs, do they? They've now lost all four finals they've been in. Add to 87, 2006 and 2008, 2024. Adam Armstrong's goal settled things in the end. Brilliant finish it was too. Let's go back to the start though, Adrian. Both teams unchanged from the semi-final second leg. You can understand why Daniel Farker picked the same team, but they just never got going.
Yeah, I didn't have any issue with the team selection. I think they had a barnstorming semi-final performance against Norwich, but the difference in the calibre of opponent was there for all to see today. Norwich probably happy to be in the playoffs. Southampton, just a far more sophisticated team, a team that were always going to present Leeds with more problems. And I just felt ahead of the game that the team that produced the best off the ball work would win the game. And Southampton's shape, their structure, game plan from Russell Martin, just sort of using a back three. Ryan Fraser playing sort of almost a hybrid winger wing back role. It was the better game plan, and Southampton absolutely deserved it. And in the main, they just kept Leeds United at arm's length. If you can tame Leeds' front four, you're in business, aren't you? And they definitely did that today, Southampton. I thought that the rear guard were just sensational.
So what about Sam, Archie Gray, 3 minutes in, has a shot from 25 yards out, the youngest Leeds United player to ever walk out onto the pitch at Wembley. At that point, you're kind of thinking the tone was set and it was going to be Leeds asking the questions and Southampton kind of trying to hold the fort down, but they just sort of looked a bit short of ideas, Lee.
Yeah, and I think that would have been the hope, wouldn't it, for every Leeds supporter coming here, and certainly Daniel Farker and his staff, that they could replicate what they did in that first half against Norwich. And Clarkey summed that up perfectly there. It was whether those front players could click into gear. And I think Russell Martin deserves enormous credit from not only his change late in the season to have a little look at this back three. It must have been with a view to what was to come in the playoffs, but to execute it so well over those two games against West Brom, and then again today, where defensively they were superb. The added muscle, really, I think, physical presence of those three at the heart of the defence, that Fraser position, which baffled me over that second leg today, seeing it here at Wembley, was even more evident, in contrast to kind of what Nonto's directive was on that side for Leeds. He didn't have to get back and do anywhere near the defensive work that Fraser had to do, and no surprise that he was one of the first substitutions because he covers so much ground. So, no, I thought it was a lacklustre Leeds United performance, but we know if Ruta and Somerville are not right at the top of their game, those two in particular, Leeds struggle to break sides down. And Southampton's game plan today, I think, to follow on from a Crawley brilliant game plan and an Oxford brilliant game plan, we saw that again today. That was an excellent bit of work from Russell Martin and his team.
So, Adrian, Leeds came into the game as favourites, but were we maybe a bit sort of dismissive, and I say we, I mean the wider football public of Southampton. There's only 3 points between them, but of course Southampton won both league meetings between them, and after being unconvinced earlier in the season, you've been pretty sure that Russell Martin is actually the better operator in May 2024 than Daniel Farke. A bit more sophisticated maybe, and we saw that today.
Definitely more sophisticated, yeah. I think, yeah, look, at the outset of this season I was a little bit sceptical about Russell Martin. I thought, you know, I love his coaching, I love the style of football, but he'd never produce winning football, and the start of the season he certainly didn't produce winning football. But once they found their groove, they've been, you know, arguably the best team in the Championship, certainly up there with Leicester and Ipswich if you take away the first sort of 7 or 8 weeks of the season. So yeah, I just felt that they have more tactical armoury up their sleeve, Southampton, than Leeds United. Leeds United can't really play with that many angles. It's a 4-2-3-1. It's give it to Routier or the wingers and let them go and make things happen. And against weaker opposition, they blow them away, like Norwich. But if you come up against a really well-drilled team, a team that will deny you space in behind, and that's what Southampton did in this game, they defended a bit deeper. They sacrificed possession. You know, they only had 42.5% of the ball here today, Southampton. For me, that's deliberate. Because they're saying, if they'd have had 60% of the ball, Southampton, when they lost it, they would have been short at the back. And that's where Leeds would charge at them, like they did against Norwich. So they said to themselves, well, no, we're not doing that. We'll let Leeds have it. They won't like that. And then we've just got to take our chances when they come. And, of course, Adam Armstrong did. But, yeah, for me, no doubt, the better manager of the two is the one that's now going to be a Premier League manager. Russell Martin outclassed Daniel Farke today.
Yeah, I mean, putting all that into account, the lack of the ball, Leeds' pressure at times, despite, you know, Southampton having a lot of players back south of the ball, Southampton arguably still put the best two or three moves together in the game for the goal. Armstrong got in for the opportunity on his left foot when he opted to cut it back. So still within that, if you like, conservative kind of setup for Southampton in comparison to some of the season when they've been, you know, a lot more open on the pitch and obviously played a little bit more on the front foot, they still have the quality to play those passing sequences. And Adam Armstrong scores in another game against Leeds, scored in three games against them. So they haven't learned from that either, Leeds United. And that is, you know, I think a contrast between the two sides. For all Somerville's greatness, Routier at times, Pirou's eye for a goal, Adam Armstrong, I think when you give him one, two chances, he's different from what Leeds had in their armoury probably. And across the three games this season, he's had a say. And again today, he's the difference maker.
Yeah, he's the best finisher on the pitch, no doubt about that. And it was a great finish for the goal. The other thing I wanted to mention was playing out from the back. That's been Southampton's Achilles heel all season. They've gifted so many chances to opponents by overplaying, by taking unnecessary risks. Didn't take any today, did they? You know, yes, they tried to play out from the back, but because Leeds were a ferocious pressing team, they decided, you know what, today we're not going to mess around with it. And they went a little bit longer. And again, it's adapting to the game state, adapting to your opponent. And I think that's where Southampton had the edge against Leeds, because Leeds didn't adapt to Southampton. They could have been playing anybody today. They just played their game and it got nullified. And then you're looking at Daniel Farke, well, what you got? What you got up your sleeve? And really, it was just chuck on like-for-like subs and let's hope for the best.
Let's get a bit more on the goal, Sam. You're our number 9. 24 for the season for Adam Armstrong. He also got 13 assists. We wonder if he's in the Cameron Jerome vortex. But you were saying as we were watching the match that that's an easy one to get wrong, that finish.
Yeah, it's easy because I think it's the type of opportunity you hope that's going to fall your way. It's a kind of run that you make copious amounts of times and you think that's an easy one to dispatch. But it's so easy to drag it wide of the far post. And he actually doesn't kind of ping it. He doesn't strike through it. There's a bit of placement there as well. I think it's kind of off his side foot, but with pace as well. So the direction's brilliant. And like I touched on, it is a type of goal that he's been finishing time and time again this season. He makes those runs a little bit different from today, but brilliant runs from right to left, kind of coming in off that flank. He's played so much football right hand side of that three-pronged attack that he's shown real versatility this season. But you know, when he gets in on that type of angle, you know, he's better than probably anyone else in the league at that. And they had the luxury of obviously leaving Che Adams on the bench today as well. And you could argue, you know, going in one-on-one, I'd probably have Adams and Armstrong over anyone in that Leeds team. You know, despite their obvious qualities, I think you can trust Adams and Armstrong when they get in front of goal, and the numbers this season show you that.
Southampton did have to deal with difficulty. David Brooks going off injured in the first half, replaced by Adozie, who then himself went off in the second period. But start of the second half, probably the best we saw from Leeds Clark in terms of a sustained period of pressure, albeit again, it was all edge of the box, not quite getting the shot away kind of stuff.
Actually, I'd probably say a little bit later than that, when Dan James came on. I think Dan James was the sort of difference maker. You probably look around that Leeds side, you say, well, who performed? Who played to their capability today? Who's shone? I don't think any of the starters shone. I think that Dan James did. He came on, hit the bar, lovely looping shot, very unlucky. He tested the goalkeeper, McCarthy, with a lovely little sort of drive that was curling into the bottom corner. So I think he can hold his head up high. But yeah, look, they had a lot of the territory. Had more than double the number of touches inside the box than Southampton, but they didn't, for me, really cause that much sweat. You know, in my opinion, Southampton were very well organised. I think the back three were all great, all of them. I think Bednarek was probably my pick, but Stevens deserves a lot of credit. Harwood Bellis made one big mistake where he sort of was really slow to get across and almost gave a penalty away. But I think that back three repelled everything today, and they gave Southampton the platform. Flip it around and you look at the lead centre halves for the goal, with Rodon going to the ball, not getting anywhere near it, leaving the space in behind. Ampadu detached from his centre back partner, miles away. That was poor, and it wasn't the first time those two centre backs got opened up. So I think, yeah, that key duel, or the two key areas, you know, the two lots of central defenders, Southampton were considerably better than Leeds.
Where does this leave Daniel Farker, do you think, Sam? Because the brief was to get promoted. That was supposed to be his specialty. And as we've been saying, he's been shown up not just by the result, but by how the game transpired here. Do you expect him to be in the dugout at the start of August at Elland Road?
Me personally, I think it would be difficult for him to be handing the reins again, to have another crack. That's how I feel in my gut, but the noise seems to suggest that there was a bit of a reality that it may take longer than a year. What is a concern is, I think, for financial reasons moving forward, they're going to lose a lot of players this summer again, and he did pretty well, didn't he, and the hierarchy there to be able to field the likes of Somerville and Nonto this season in the Championship. So I don't think they're going to have the luxury next year. You could argue it's not going to be as competitive, maybe, the Championship next year, but I don't think Leeds possibly are going to go in with the strength that they had this year. So yeah, my gut would say, considering they were there in the title race and lost their way, and they've had a reprieve, if you like, to get through once more in the playoffs, get up once more in the playoffs, and not been able to achieve that, I think maybe there's a decision to be made there, and maybe a change would be the most likely outcome.
Just looking at the games they lost as well, Clarkie, towards the end of the season, Southampton on the last day obviously came with a caveat, but they lost at Leeds, and then they were held to a 0-0 at home by Sunderland, lost at home to Blackburn as well. It's not like they can say, well, you know, we lost home and away to Leicester and to Ipswich, and that's just the way that it goes. There are silly points that have been dropped over the course of the season.
Some people might say they choked it. You know, that's the truth. I mean, the really winnable games that they didn't perform in. But in my opinion, it goes back to the point I'm making. If you negate the forwards, what else have they got? And tactically, the answer is not a lot. And that's the reason that I think they probably should make a change. Daniel Farker is a good manager. He is a good fit for Leeds because he's calm. And I think someone like Jesse Marsh is a nightmare fit for Leeds because he's wild. And Leeds is wild enough without having a wild manager. So I think he's got the right traits. But ultimately, compared to McKenna, compared to Maresca, compared to Russell Martin, he looks limited. He looks basic, doesn't he? Let's be honest, call it how it is. He looks basic from a tactical point of view. Good eye for a player. Good motivator, good solid manager, but I think the reason Leeds aren't in the Premier League is because he hasn't been anywhere near as good as the three guys I've just mentioned. So I would make a change if I was Leeds, but like Sam says, it's, you know, a bit of stability might not be the worst thing in the world for them.
And on the other side of the coin is Russell Martin. Obviously, he had that sticky start, but really, Sam, that 24-match unbeaten run, well, I mean, it's an obvious thing to say, but that just helped get everybody on side, supporters, hierarchy, players. This is the way we play. It will work.
Yeah, and I was at a couple of the games around that spell on the back of that four straight defeats, and they got smashed by Leicester at home, and the crowd were on him from the first minute, and it was almost, you know, Gavin Bazunu, and I know the style and the directive from the staff at Southampton would be to draw that press in, but honestly, when things are going badly and the crowd are voicing their displeasure, it was just snowballing at that time, and it was getting to the stage where you felt this might not work out for him. They actually turned it around. The start of that run was a victory against Leeds at St Mary's, where, you know, I was doing my prep and I was looking at all the different patterns and the different selections, and he didn't do a great deal. So I think you have to give Russell Martin enormous credit for what he did on the training ground, you know, those little intricate changes that he must have implemented around that stage. I did notice Bazunu being a bit quicker with the ball. Armstrong played a bit more off the right. They played with a false nine for periods. So there was a few little tactical things that were adjusted, but I think in the main, it's just a group of players that are all really talented, elite, high-level players, slightly having to adapt to a new manager's direction and tactics. So you got to take him at his word. You know, in time, they really gathered that momentum. And yeah, I'm fascinated to see what he can do in the Premier League. The squad's going to be interesting. They're going to lose some players you would anticipate that have been vital loanees this season. A few big players out of contract, which we'll probably have a decision to make now. You know, should they have lost today, that probably would have been Che Adams' last kick of a ball in Southampton colours. So yeah, an opportunity to keep hold of them. And you know, me and Clarky just talking before we recorded the pod, it feels like Southampton are pretty established in the Premier League. It doesn't feel like there's too many concerns financially or otherwise. So, you know, hopefully they can make a good fist to stay in the division.
So talk me through what they need to do then, Clarky, because they might need a new goalie, mightn't they? If Bazunu's going to be out for most of next season, Alex McCarthy's done what he's had to do well at the end of the season, but he's not getting any younger. Taylor Harwood-Bellis will join now. That's an obligation to buy for £20 million. So they've got him, but where else are they going to strengthen?
Premier League, that's a big step up. We probably need to strengthen in all departments. I think the system that we've seen in the playoffs is the one they should use in the Premier League, because that insurance of having the third centre-back, I think, will suit them. And they've shown that they can be really industrious. I mean, I think Stuart Armstrong coming back from injury will be big. He's a Premier League player for sure. They need another striker, you know, someone quick, because they're going to have to spend more time without the ball in the Premier League. They're going to have to be a lot more, they're going to have to be resilient like they were here today. So you need punch. You need punch on the counter. Adam Armstrong offers that to a point, and he's a good finisher. But yeah, you need a little bit of pace up front. For me, it's about Premier League experience. But, you know, good, solid Premier League players that can obviously fit with Russell Martin's style. So they've got to be technically good, comfortable receiving the ball in all areas. But they've got to be good off the ball. They've got to be reliable. They've got to be industrious. And they've got to be, yeah, the sort of players that can handle it in the Premier League. So, yeah, there'll be some money spent. But I think it'll be more, I don't think we'll see superstars coming at Southampton. It's about the team, isn't it? So it'll be looking for good pros, good technicians, but above all else, I think hard-working players.
Don't do it Burnley then, basically, and spend £100 million on not very much. And before we move on from the game, Sam, we mentioned that Dan James bar hit that cracked the crossbar in two almost. Really nice shot. I just thought, when the stadium announcer read out the attendance, it's worth commenting on the fact that there were 85,862 people to watch a game of second-tier football. When you think about it, that's mad, isn't it? I know Southampton and Leeds are two well-supported teams, but that doesn't happen anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, and it's probably this time of year that we see on TV and radio, or certainly hear the discussions about how important the EFL is. And, you know, obviously it's maybe a little bit blurred today because these teams, as you say, are, you know, established Premier League sides or have been huge support. But I think it does show you the EFL is just, it's invaluable, isn't it? And you don't realise when you're brought up in it, as we all were, supporting your local teams and going to watch lower league football, you don't probably fully appreciate how different it is to other places in Europe and across the world. So yeah, it was unbelievable. The atmosphere, the passion from two sets of supporters was incredible. And yeah, tough one for Leeds to take, I'm sure. I don't think they'll probably enjoy next season as much as they did this. Some of the supporters, you know, you can get behind a successful team, especially the start of 2024 when they were relentless, especially at Elland Road. That's going to be a churn for them next year, going to the same grounds, trying desperately now to get out of the division. But they'll support them, won't they? Because it's a huge, passionate support base who is going to have to take that one on the chin today.
The recruitment's massive, isn't it? Because Somerville has to go, I think. I think Willie Nonto goes. I think he wanted to go last summer. They sort of twisted his arm. I think that Archie Gray is the obvious one that's worth a lot of money. I think that they might cash in on him. So, that, you know, they're three massive players in the team. Jaden Anthony is a backup, but he's on loan. You know, there are other players that are on loan. So, yeah, they've got to get it right. But they will. They will get good players because they're Leeds United in the Championship. They're going to be in the top six, aren't they? There's no doubt about that. And in a way, the supporters, I know what Sam's saying, but I do get that, but they're going to win a lot of games next year and be there or thereabouts. So it's not a disaster. It's a disaster financially, puts a lot of pressure on them. But, you know, they can come again. They can definitely come again. And I think if they make a managerial change, they'll go up next year.
All right, well, congratulations to the Saints. Commiserations to the Whites of Southampton, who are playing Premier League football again next season. Right then, elsewhere, away from the playoffs, Wayne Rooney has been confirmed as the Plymouth Argyle manager. Taking this role at Plymouth Argyle feels like the perfect next step in my career, and I'd like to thank the chairman and board for the faith that they have shown in me. Adrian Clark, that is faith which is not reciprocated by you.
Don't put words in my mouth. He's lucky to get the gig, isn't he? He's very lucky because at Derby he did all right, but there was that part of it, you thought, how much of this is Liam Rossini's team? In America, it was a bit of a disaster by all accounts. And at Birmingham, car crash. So I he's yet to prove to me, but to everyone, in my opinion, that he's a good manager. He's cut out for it. So how's he got the gig? He's got the gig because he knows the director of football, Neil Dewsnip. He's a big name. He speaks well, actually, on TV. I think he's come across really well lately in his punditry role. And maybe I've seen him in a new light, but he's got a look, I hope it works, because I think it'd be brilliant to see Wayne Rooney, one of my favourite players to watch, in the last sort of 20 years. I kind of want him to succeed, to be a really good manager, but don't see it at the moment. And my initial reaction when I saw the news was Plymouth are going down. That's how I felt.
Something that I found interesting in the reading the reporting on it, Sam, is that it says first team coaches Kevin Nanskeville, and Simon Ireland and goalkeeping coach Daryl Flahaven will form part of Rooney's backroom staff. So he's not getting to pick his own team, basically. Is that Plymouth saying, well, we saw what you did at Birmingham and bringing in John O'Shea and Ashley Cole, who don't have much coaching experience. We'd rather there was some continuity here. It doesn't feel like unequivocal backing for him, that.
It's really difficult for me to add anything onto what Clarkey said, because I feel exactly the same in terms of what he's done previously as a manager. It feels like Plymouth Argyle have kind of got the structure in place in terms of some people that they really trust to get on with the recruitment and some of the coaching. So what exactly are they hoping that Wayne Rooney brings to the party, other than being a huge name in English football? Brilliant player. I loved him as a player, and I've probably said on the podcast, I think he gets a little bit of a raw deal in terms of his personality because of some of his misdemeanours maybe early on in his life. I think he talks really well. I like listening to him. He seems really affable. But, you know, what has he shown as a manager to come in to inherit a team, essentially, and take it on and make Plymouth Argyle, you know, a better team, accumulate more points than they already did this season? I don't really get it. If he was coming in with a really wily, old, experienced coach who was going to take the majority of the training, and Wayne Rooney was just going to be a motivator or be someone, you know, with a different role alongside someone more senior, I'd probably get it. I don't really understand it because of his track record and his short tenure as a manager this far.
One thing I probably should, for balance, point out is that Derby had no money. Obviously, they were in a mess, weren't they? So he had to play the kids. In America, it's a different thing, isn't it, in terms of recruitment. At Birmingham, he didn't get a window. You know, he comes in for John Eustace, gets the bullet well before January. So I would have thought one of the big things about Wayne Rooney is, oh, he'll attract players. You know, he's a great name. Players will want to play for Wayne Rooney. We haven't really had that, has he yet? He hasn't had that opportunity to say, these are the players I want, and to go out there and get them. So Plymouth won't have a big budget, we know that. But, you know, they'll look for good young players, won't they? Players of the future. I think he'll live and die on the players that he picks. So who's he going to target over the next couple of months? We'll see what his knowledge is like during this transfer window, I think.
Yeah, you'd imagine it. Plymouth will probably get access to a better group of loan players than they would have done before as well. As first reported by the Mirror at the start of this month, Wayne Rooney is a Second World War buff who is obsessed with the documentary series The World at War. Is that the most surprising thing you've heard this season? If not, what is? Love that. Right, we're just about done for this, our final show of the season. Let me remind you that our friends at Quinbet have enhanced their UK welcome offer, where you can now get a free bet worth up to £35. It is for new customers at sign up only. Check out the full terms and conditions at quinbet.com/promotions or use the link provided in the show notes. It's 18 plus, and remember, always gamble responsibly. You can find us on social media at EFL What The on X, at What The EFL on TikTok and Instagram. And of course, we got one final tweet of the week for the season. It comes from Liam Circombe of Cheltenham on his way out the door following their relegation, and this was his parting message. Just want to thank all players, staff and fans for a great 4 years at the club. Promotion as champions in my first season, followed by two of the club's highest ever league finishes in the club's history, ended with winning players, fans and sponsors player of the season awards, along with top goal scorer and goal of the season. He's still going. 185 appearances, 25 goals. All the best to everyone. Heart emoji, Cirque's all caps. It's like your index and your little finger pointing up emoji, which means something to somebody. Sam, this is a path that we've trodden before, basically players bigging themselves up. Did you enjoy this?
I loved it, but partly because he's a former teammate of mine, so I'll get the brown nosing out of the way. Brilliant lad. He was an excellent player, and I think we fight his corner and wax lyrical about him enough, probably on this medium and others, and I have certainly done that over the last few years to give him some stick where it's rightly due here, because that's a straight red, isn't it? I thought he was going to go most improved player as well, you know, the one they used to give to the sub when we were under 11s. Yeah, club man of the year. I thought he was going to go for that, and to not mention the relegation, that's got to go in first, hasn't it? There's got to be that little mention, sorry guys, about this season didn't end the way I wanted it to, but to cap a brilliant 3 years with this list of accolades, that would have been fine. But it's a straight red, Liam.
It feels like he hasn't got an agent, and rather than his agent putting his profile out to clubs that might want to sign him, that's it.
Yeah, this is it. This is absolutely it. Look, footballer, having a LinkedIn page as a footballer doesn't work, right? You've got to big yourself up. If no one else is going to big you up, there's no agent doing the work for you. You've got to sell yourself. And I think putting this tweet out, and maybe us talking about it, maybe some other people, it might just alert other clubs that actually he did pretty well across his time at Cheltenham. It's the biggest pat on the back anyone's ever given themselves, isn't it? But I forgive him. I don't think it's a straight red because he's out of contract. He's looking for a job, and I've been there. I've been there, sending faxes saying, look, I'm available. This is what I've done. I'm available on a free transfer. Didn't have social media back then. I would have done something similar. The big difference is I wouldn't have won all those awards.
Well, look, good luck to Liam and everybody else trying to find a new club for the start of next season. Thank you to Sam, to Adrian, to everybody who's joined us throughout the season. Too many people to mention, but mainly to you, listener, for keeping us going. Enjoy your summer off. Before you know it, it'll all be starting again. But for now, for this season, it's goodbye.